The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in the U.S. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Isabel Marchiselli. She's a singer, pianist, and multi-instrumentalist from New York. She's currently based in Westfield, Massachusetts. In addition to performing as a solo artist, she also plays with groups, including her band, Isabel and the Whispers. She was educated in music at Cornell University, Mann School of Music, and Hunter College.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Isabel. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, doing great, Sorontos. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm very thrilled to have you on the show tonight, so I think we're going to have some fun.
So great.
Tell us a little bit. You're obviously trained in music, unlike a lot of people that don't go to school for music, myself included. Tell us a little bit about that journey. What made you, did you always know you wanted to pursue music and you decided to go to school for it, or how'd that work out like that?
Well, it was started pretty instinctual, I guess, you know, as an inclination when you're young. And kid, growing into your teens, you get a keyboard, like I did in my early teens, that is. And, you know, just kind of my first instinct, in fact, when I did get a keyboard, was to write a song and to notate it, even though at that time I still was unfamiliar with notation. But that was my instinct to dive into songwriting, but it would take a few more years. I was good in school. I wrote tons of poetry, and I even was part of a live poet society group, which was made up mostly of adults, and I was the only 15-year-old in the group. But we did readings all over Long Island, including at the Walt Whitman birthplace. A fun, loving, witty, and very talented group of ladies I hung around with since I was very young. And in college, I just found myself gravitating towards the music even more. Just kind of left to my own devices now that I was in college and away from home and away from my family. I lived on campus at Cornell and in Ithaca. Really gorgeous scenery. I just was often very inspired up there, upstate New York.
Sure.
And just a natural evolution. I really wanted, I had to get it out of my system. I wanted to study theory more. And with, you know, these teachers there at Cornell. And it was a kind of evolving process. I continued to identify that I wanted to deepen my training. So I went to Mannes School of Music, often commuting from Long Island to New York City to do that. And then I realized I really wanted to get very as deeply into this as possible. And I took I was a music major at Hunter College, a second degree music major. Okay. So, I got a lot of support there. At Manus, I studied some composition. I took a whole bunch of ear training classes. And just kind of steeped myself in all that for a while. But I'll tell you, none of these classes necessarily really invited me to write my own songs. So that was
really, that's a shame.
Exactly. No, really. That was a craft that I picked up sort of in a parallel direction. I was a backup singer for a rock band in Brooklyn, a veteran rock band that had been out playing for years and years and was really tight with each other. Everybody was much older than me, but I didn't care. I loved singing backup, playing tambourine. But somehow in the process, becoming working on my keyboard accompaniment, I grew intimately aware of the craft of songwriting as the lead singer wrote his songs, and I loved them. And I started to understand like how it worked. Like I just picked up on it, the verse and the bridges and all the choruses. And it just, things sort of took off from there, Sorrentos.
Okay. What was the first tune that you learned?
Oh, the first tune that I ever learned to sing or to write or play or?
Anything. Whatever first comes to your mind.
Oh, wow. That's a really great question. No one has ever asked me that before. I'm a little embarrassed to say, but I was, I sang in a preschool with gusto, I'm told. And also I remember because I had a wonderful preschool teacher who played guitar.
Yeah.
And it's my earliest musical memory and even my earliest memory. So I believe that a popular song we kept singing over and over again was The Magic Penny.
That sounds like a cool song, The Magic Penny.
I won't try to sing it again, though. I'll just really embarrass myself.
Yeah, that's all right. Tell us a little bit about your influences. If you could pick like two influences, who would they be?
Well, it's a clear-cut question, but not always so much for me. But I guess I can't help but point to Amy Mann, singer-songwriter from Boston, and she's really someone I greatly admired, her sense of rhythm, and just there's something about the way she wrote, like, these tough psychological songs with raw subjects, but she kind of wrote about them in a peppy way.
Yeah.
And I just found that really sort of beguiling and intriguing that you can kind of travel through, just kind of imply things between the lines of songs.
Sure.
Through the music, of course. The music completes the message.
Absolutely, yeah. Tell us a little bit about your process. How do you get started? Do you start with melody? Do you start with lyrics, drum groove, music, guitar, piano? How do you get started?
Well, Sorrentos, each song sort of gets handled in a different way. I guess the pattern I've picked up on is... there's this sort of cosmic din that we all live in, just the sound of life. And especially in New York City, where actually I've moved from there now, but when I started really heavily getting into songwriting, just kind of tuning in to the pulse, the inner pulse of my world, my inner ear, I guess, my life. Sometimes I'm hearing rhythms first. Oftentimes I'm hearing a melody, sometimes even without words.
Sure.
And then I come up with a dummy lyric until I work out the full lyric in my mind. I often trust songs that come to me faster rather than songs that I had to work too hard over because they stop. I don't know. Everybody's different, but like me, they start feeling more like less real, like the more I've worked them over time. Like I found that I tend to do best with songs that were really just sort of like a flash of lightning.
Okay.
Sort of dropped on me.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any career advice you've received that you just want to share with the audience that really rocked your world?
Well, yeah, I would. I would want to share something. And what is that? Let's think. Just to not be afraid, and sometimes not to over-rationalize things, because this is the world of the arts. And I don't know, I sometimes think as a society, we're so good at talking ourselves out of things and rationalizing and over-rationalizing that so many wonderful ideas get lost and so many things that could have come to be don't. So I like to go with it. I like to go with the flow. I also like to take action. I do not just like to just dream too terribly much. It's a wonderful quote. It's like by Bill Gates. Dreaming without execution is ineffective or something like this.
Yeah.
And I just think that to really give every dream its wings, you've got to take action. And mean what you say and say what you mean. And you know?
Yeah, no, totally. What's the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome in the music realm?
The biggest challenge? Well, golly, that's a great question. If you'll just give me a moment.
Sure.
I want to do it all. So that's the thing with me. Like, I'm often bouncing around whether I want to start working on a jazz playlist of music to play or coming up with my songs or working on a classical recital because I also play classical music. I just really want to do it all. And I realize I sometimes just can't do it all. And I kind of, it's a challenge for me always to, you know, narrow down.
Yeah. Okay. Is there something that you're currently working on that you're, you know, getting ready for the fans that you'd like to share with us tonight?
Yes. I am incredibly excited to share that after a decade since I released my first album, Isabel and the Whispers, over a decade ago with my band of the same name, we are working on another album, and I never dissolved the band, but it does feel like a reunion of sorts to get back together and work on another album. I'm incredibly excited where we've chosen a beautiful studio in the Berkshires at which to record, and I'm working with a producer as well, and that's going to be new for me because the first album was really sparse. But this album, I want it to be more produced and orchestrated. And I really am hoping to release it before the end of the year.
Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Tell us,
do you have any advice for listeners out there that might not be in the music world, that are just listeners? What's the best way to enjoy music?
Oh, that's a powerful question. The best way to enjoy music. I don't know that everybody's going to necessarily agree with what I have to say, but I'm going to put it out there. These days, everything is so online and like, it's overwhelming. I don't know about you, but I get lost like in cyberspace. And I used to love walking into, you know, the record stores and CD stores. I mean, I'd spend hours there, going through collections and just getting an idea of everything, you know, these artists, who they were, the genres, album, art, music, just. So These days, at times I wonder, well, how do you like discover new music? I mean, do I just randomly go on a website and just click around? I actually am very people oriented, despite my strong introverted moments. And I love discovering music through people. Some of the best songs that I've ever heard were through just people who sort of pushed a CD on me and said, hey, you should listen to this, or pushed, you know, sent me a track or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on how well I knew that person or how, you know, all that, just I would suddenly just give it a chance and end up loving it. And I'm so grateful to those people who just took a moment to share their music with me. I actually think it's an interesting question to ask yourself about the people in your life and what kind of music they like, and find out about music through them too, not just randomly clicking around everywhere.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I just watched on Netflix the last Blockbuster, and they totally hit on the whole point with video, how's a community, and, you know, same thing with record stores.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you used to just go there to just talk to people. You'd find, you know, some unique music. People would suggest things. I get it that it's all online now, but I sometimes miss that bonding experience.
Absolutely, Sorantos. And also, sometimes if you just, I mean, how many times has it happened to us? You know, like someone we were dating, or someone with whom we were friends, or a coworker just shared something, and it meant more than anybody could imagine it would. I mean, one little moment where maybe it didn't occur to them anything, but it ended up becoming one of my favorite bands. That was a coworker of mine who just kind of, I didn't even really know him very well. He gave me a CD of Built to Spill, and I loved what I was hearing, and that's still today one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about this song we're going to hear in 2 minutes. What do you want us to know about it? What inspired it?
Thanks. It's called Wander, and I wrote this song a while back, even when I was a student at Hunter. It was almost a throwaway song. I was going to add it to my album, but then, like, a lot of people kept calling my attention to it and how much what they liked about it. So I decided to kind of add it to the album. And I think it's fun. It's inspired a lot by my nature walks. And I guess it's partially inspired a little bit by my favorite bands, which I like a lot of bands like what I described so far, and also bands from the British Invasion and all that. But I guess I just hope people walk away with their own feeling, like a sort of free-flowing feeling, maybe like a happy feeling, that they can kind of, you know, they don't have to draw always in the, you know, the lines, along the lines. They can just kind of, you know, think outside the box and try different things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's good. And that's very necessary, because a lot of people aren't doing that nowadays.
Yeah. Sometimes we just like want the right answers, or like doing it right, or like, I don't know, but just I feel like if we just kind of shift the question, some, you know, you get new insights on something.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to listen to your song, and then we'll come back and talk, okay?
Thanks.
All right, everybody, check this out, and then we'll come back and talk some more. Here we go.
It's like hieroglyphics to read my own heart. Don't know how God does it, the sun or the parts. What I can see is that I can be enough, enough. When I wonder, then I
Well, that was a really cool song. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Isabel.
Well, thank you. I'm really delighted to have the opportunity to do this on this. It's really a great songwriter show. It means a lot.
You're welcome. So you're out in the New York area. So tell me about a place I got to come eat if I visit you there. What's like the first thing that sticks out in your head?
Well, I love the restaurants here, especially the Asian ones. Boy, they've sort of closed some of them down. You know, I also like the French bistros when I'm not at the Asian restaurants. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on one of my favorites.
Your favorite.
I'm really embarrassed now. It used to be, what was it called? I feel like looking it up or something. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Where do you think music is going in the next year or 5 years? If you could give us a prediction, what do you think is gonna happen?
Well, Sorontos, I don't know that everybody's gonna really like my answer. But I think these are murky times for music, like musicians. And I think that there's so much fragmentation out there in the musical world. You know, we used to be able to sell CDs at shows. Now what do you sell? Like just an MP3 card or something? Just clicking. So I feel like... I think I give credit to every single musician out there who's like working with going with the flow instead of against the tide. I think that musicians are going to have to really rally and maybe almost unite to against this big, gigantic Goliath, which is the internet. And so maybe we can just kind of befriend each other in the process and innovate new solutions for how to get music into people's lives, new ways, and despite the benefits and the limitations of technology. Because, you know, when the MP3 came along, it really eliminated, it compressed audio files. You lose so much bass. And I'm surprised at how contented people have people, you know, are just sort of, I don't want to say contented, I want to just how tolerant people have become of that. So much of audio quality is lost in an MP3 file. I'm not surprised vinyl is coming back. And maybe we'll see other things come back too. But people got to know that things were better at some point. And they don't have to just settle for the way things are now.
Yeah, no, that's very true. That's very true, absolutely. What was your first job that you ever had?
My first job that I ever had? Oh, boy. I worked at a bakery in my teens. It was not a good gig.
No, I was going to say, it sounds fun.
Sort of, not really. I wasn't good at it, and I didn't stay long at that job.
Okay.
Things got better in college when I took some library jobs. I don't know. I just liked the libraries.
Yeah. Who's your favorite person to follow on Instagram or any social media channel?
I love following Andrea Bocelli because, he's just a phenomenon to me, and I've been aware of him for like 2 decades, and he continues to be out there just sharing from his heart. And he's not just out there promoting, but he's sharing his innermost meditations and philosophies of life in his posts. And so touching. And he, you know, I guess when you're as big as Andrea Bocelli, you can afford to do that.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you're on the rise, it's like, well, you know, I mean, should I take chances, you know?
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I think it's something to aspire to. I can't help it. And he comes across as pretty humble, modest. I don't know. Just, that's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. When you look at people nowadays, they don't just focus their music on New York or the United States. They try to focus internationally. Tell us about your efforts to try to get your music international and what country has been the most successful for you.
Oh, that's a fascinating question. I have been making outreach efforts as a sort of my own kind of my act here. I also recently reached out to Brazilian DJs, and I'm wanting to get some of my music from the Isabel and the Whispers album out there in honor of the recent passing of the 10th anniversary of the release of this album. Also, we've gotten write-ups in England, and we're supposed to be getting a write-up from a German magazine soon. So I'm very excited about that. But what in terms of where have we really gotten a response? That's I would say Europe. Yeah, and specifically England. I feel like they've had an affinity for our sound. Many folks over there.
That's awesome. So how do you think that happened? Is there something you did, or do you just think it just blind luck? Or,
well, as early as many years ago, I worked with a British, actually a Brit from in New York, who had his own radio show, Doc Radio. I guess modeled after the other Doc Radio, but it's not the same. They're not one and the same. And he just really related to the psychology of the songs and the poetry in there. And you know, they're not Hollywood style songs, or there's something there that I'm trying to infuse into the song, like a painting. And they had that sensibility for that and emotion. It's like an emotional type painting too. And they would just say, you know, I think I remember distinctly him saying, I think it's not just your music, it's you. So it's as if two people, like just people who get it, like on each other's wavelength or something. And I found that just oftentimes with folks in England, like they're, you know, they, yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm not that terribly surprised. I grew up loving and listening to tons of British bands. So maybe it's connected.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about, where can fans buy your music, stream at your website? What do you want to share with us before we let you go here?
Thanks. At the moment, my album is a work in progress, Toronto. So the best thing what I would love for people to do is just follow me on Instagram, through my website, IsabelleMarchiselli.com, and keep in touch with me, especially on there, or Facebook, on my artist page, or you can follow me on my blog, my artist blog, Word Whispers on WordPress. I really try to get out there, and I will share that news, and I would love for folks to consider joining my VIP circle. I'm going to, you know, we're really working on an expanded set of a band merch, including handcrafted totes with our logo, our band's name on it, and T-shirts that were specially commissioned from a graphic designer. And just a really nice line of merch up ahead. So for giveaways, and just please, just stay in touch with the music and bear with me. I'm sometimes a bit of an ever-evolving kind of figure. My music kind of goes all over the place, but I really always want to come back to my songs. So I just need for people to understand that, kind of be understanding, and just kind of follow me. And, you know, hopefully I would love to hear from folks. You know?
Awesome. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Isabel.
Oh, thank you. It was a tremendous honor. Really had fun talking with you today about something so close to my heart as songwriting.
Oh, that's great. So to any listeners out there, if you know anyone who wants to be on the Songwriter Show, please just have them reach out to me. Thank you all for listening. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show. And tonight I'm going to leave you with my new song that just came out last week, and the video came out today, actually, called The Olympics. I hope you enjoy this rock song. I hope we have the Olympics this year in Tokyo, because obviously it was delayed from last year because of coronavirus. Let's get ready for July 21st. Have a great night, everyone. I love you guys.
Something keep us glued to our screens, but don't lose track of how hard it is to make it to a stage like this. Something reporters count the medals, but they don't even really matter. Win or lose, you deserve a chance. Time.
listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.